day. It is a gift from you. The world is turning in its place, cause you made it to lift my voice, sing a song of praise.
On this Good Day program, you have Jennifer Horn and Roberta Fasanelli and Rich McFadden, Doug Steffen, Dr. Pam Popper joins us in a moment. It's Monday, the 20th of February, realizing that every time you start something, you know that in order to get somewhere, I've said this before, you've heard this, there's a song even, isn't there? You gotta give a little to get a little. Isn't there a song?
There is.
I don't know that song.
Glory of Love. Isn't that part of the lyric line from Glory of Love? Anybody remember that, to Roberta?
That's the Glory of Love. I don't even know what that is.
What, you don't remember that song either?
No.
Good heavens.
But I do know by Little Texas, you got to kick a little.
Really?
Sounds
like there's great value in that, Jennifer. Thank you.
No problem.
The greater the sacrifice required of you, the greater the success, I believe. And there are no shortcuts. You have to, in terms of long-lasting success, you gotta, if you want to make things better, you have to figure that it's going to cost you something. And if you like things the way they are, okay, then probably won't cost you. I don't know. If it is status quo that you like, is it as costly as moving ahead? I suppose if you want to hold on to the status quo, sometimes that can be costly, right? In terms of the time it takes or the energy that it takes, I guess it depends on the individual circumstances. All I know is that nothing worthwhile ever comes easily. And I would use as an example of that Dr. Pam Popper, who established the Wellness Forum in Columbus, Ohio. She's worked hard to come up with a place that is an inspirational focal point for a lot of people who are curious around the country about health and nutrition, well-being issues, thus the name Wellness Forum. You go to their website, wellnessforum.com, and you can get the details of a lot of things. It has been, I believe, when we first got started here, Pam, sometime last year, I brought you on because we were talking about forks over knives.
Yes, which was, and it still continues to be quite the phenomenon, actually.
Well, this film, in a lot of ways, exceeded expectations. A lot of people have started talking about it. I've been promoting is the right word, but certainly talking about a movie called Farmageddon. There are a number of Food Inc. is another source of controversy that the main media doesn't like to mess with because it doesn't follow protocol. That is, it doesn't agree
it
with what the sponsors.
It all their advertisers, right.
Exactly. It interferes with their commerce.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, that's okay, but there's commerce here. And people say, well, you've got your point of view and I've got mine. Yep. And there can be data that backs up your point of view, Pam, and maybe mine and somebody else's.
There's data that backs up anything, but I think that there's not all data is created equal, and the weight of the evidence sometimes clearly points in a direction.
Yes. So as I nose around a little bit, one of the things that always intrigues me is the various people who have over the years caught our attention. When I was a kid, Charles Atlas was the big guy when it came to being in shape or getting muscular. And then you got Jack LaLanne and the people who followed him. I don't know that the muscle guys were always the ones who were nutritionally oriented. It was not about nutrition and strength and shape. It was just about muscles. And LaLanne was never a bodybuilder. He wasn't a muscle guy, although he was very strong. And proved that any number of times by putting a rope to a boat in his teeth and swimming across whatever river or harbor he was doing it.
I'm not quite that dedicated. I'm not planning to do anything like that.
Yeah. Well, you probably could do things. You could probably do more things than the average woman, maybe even the average man, do you think?
Absolutely. I can beat most men at running or lifting or whatever, because I am really strong.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm going to tug a boat across the river or lake or ocean with my teeth, however. I'll stop there.
Yeah. All right. So we'll hold back on that then. The video will not be coming later on today, folks. You won't see it on YouTube. But there are a lot of ways to well-being that we all can connect with. Being active, I think taking note of what's around. I was talking about a product earlier that we've had on the air for a while called Cardiol, and it comes from Italy. And one of the things apparently that the Italians are better at than we are, and I don't know if you know anything about this or not, is actually the vetting process. I wonder how, when it comes to supplements, because there are certain supplements that you think are important, and as more of us get into that routine, we look around for sources and that sort of thing. Do you know of any, you're usually good about studies, are there any good studies that suggest that we could learn something from some of the Europeans, for example, as to how they vet various supplements?
Yeah, I'll tell you one good example recently that I think we could take some lessons from. The European Food Safety Authority, I think is what it's called, just turned down for the third time the soy industry's attempt to make claims about soy, isolated soy protein. And this is important because we have this reductionist approach to health in this country. We're looking for a food, we're looking for a nutrient, we're looking for something that's going to be the magic bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And the EFSA just said, look, we don't see any yeah, there have been all these studies done, but there are flaws in the studies, and some of them used whole soy foods. And long story short, we just don't see evidence to support the idea that you're going to lower your cholesterol or build bone health with isolated soy protein. Now, why is this important? It's important because a lot of the silly claims that are made in this country are made based on the FDA allowing people to fortify foods with a certain nutrient and then make claims about them. So, you know, you see these ridiculously unhealthy foods. Like I saw chocolate chewy candies fortified with calcium builds bone health on them.
Oh, perfect. Let me add them. Where are they?
Yeah. Let's buy all those. But, you know, aside from the fact that we all love chocolate, I mean, and you'd like to think, gosh, everybody's smart enough to know that you can't eat chocolate and build your bones. But, but the reality is everybody's not smart enough to know or those products wouldn't sell so well. And so I think we could learn something from the EFSA that doesn't seem to be intimidated by food manufacturers and just basically says, look, scream, holler, do whatever you want to do. Now, they don't do everything right, but they certainly have more spine than what we have in this country.
Yeah, I would wonder about whether there are other in Asia countries there, South America.
Oh, they're still subject to industry influence. I mean, if you go to the American or the South African Dietetic Association, I did this because I spoke in South Africa last year. And I, by the way, I'll just back up and say, I started like 3 months before I went. I thought, oh, I got to rearrange all my talks, you know, to make them pertinent to South Africa. I found out I didn't have to rearrange anything. All I had to do was replace the equivalent of the USDA. They have an equivalent in South Africa and all their terrible recommendations in the slide presentation. I took out ADA, put in South African Dietetic Association. They're all pressured by industry. Right on the front page of the South African Dietetic Association is icons from Kellogg's and Danone and, you know, the whole nine yards. So for the most part, it's terrible everywhere. You see these little pockets of hope someplace that we might learn something from, but it's pretty bad everywhere,
well,
I think.
The naivete, maybe that's the way of underscoring what I've found, not necessarily in Europe, although there's a sweet naivete to much of what goes on in many places in Europe. If you go to the Middle East, or you go to even, I think, in South America, Central America, mostly because of, I guess, the educational quotient there, there's a naivete as to what role government plays in one's life. If you are subject to it, some people just pay no attention, no matter what their culture, to what goes on in the government. But then there are others who tend to think, because of the way they're educated, that the government is the end-all and the be-all. And if they say it, it must be right. And we have a lot of people in this country who say, oh, the FDA says this is good. Oh, okay. Must be true. And
okay.
So you get to that sort of thing, and you understand the unabashed influence that comes to bear, as you're just pointing out, in some of these places. Europe may be the exception, more so even than America. So you look at the influence that Monsanto and Dow and whoever else it is that's out there peddling their stuff is likely to have. We think they influence the government here. Wow. You should see they own many of the people that are in these governmental circumstances. So what chance do they...
There's a little bit of hope. I'll tell you one place, two places we could learn a lot from healthcare perspective, not so much on the food regulatory issue, but on the healthcare area. One is Germany.
Uh-huh.
The Germans, it was either 30 or 40 years ago, passed a law basically saying that they didn't think that it was the German government's role to determine what kinds of practitioners people should go to. It really opened the door for truly integrative clinics where you can go in and see a naturopath and an herbalist and a foot reflexologist and a medical doctor
right. In
one place. And then the other thing that has become popular in Germany is being very open to experimentation with cancer treatments that are really comprehensive. And in fact, I would say that probably depending upon the type of cancer you have, some of the best treatments available are in Germany. And they are complicated treatments. In other words, they use chemotherapy, they use radiation, they use it differently, they use it in combination with a lot of other things, but they get success rates a little higher, significantly higher in the cases of some cancers than we get here. So I think we could learn from them. The FDA just, you know, on the one hand, they allow white bread fortified with omega-3 fatty acids to have a claim, and on the other hand, then they won't allow a treatment that's been proven to be effective into the United States. So I think that's one place where we could learn something. The other place that does some interesting things from a regulatory perspective is Israel.
All right, I forget to mention Israel. Yeah,
universal health care is there, but the way that it works is like a combination of public and private enterprise, because everybody pays and you have to have a carrier, but you get to choose which carrier, which administrator you're going to go to, and then they all compete with one another to offer services, and as a result, I read some astounding statistic that like half of the citizens of Israel are certified to do some type of complementary and alternative therapy, whether it's foot massage or hypnotherapy or something of that nature, and it's paid for by these plans because they use it as a competitive edge to get people to sign up with them instead of the other ones. So
yep.
I think that there are some hopeful things out there. The big problem we have in this country is we just don't learn. We do the same stupid thing again and again, hoping for different results.
You
said at the beginning, and from a government standpoint, we just don't make changes that are so clear to everybody. I mean, I would say if you surveyed 99 out of 100 people on the street and said, do you think that this particular regulation needs to change, they'd all say yes, but it just doesn't happen.
Well, one of the great things I find inspirational about you and what goes on at the Wellness Forum, and you can check it out at wellnessforum.com, is the connection of diet to disease, something that it seems to be almost like a duh, and yet a lot of people don't get it, so we keep underscoring that. Dr. Pam Popper from the Wellness Forum in Columbus here on Good Day. Let me help you, speaking of being in shape, how about shaping up your finances? TurboTax wants you to enter and win that brand new laptop computer that we've been talking about here for the past couple of weeks. With the laptop computer comes the TurboTax Premier preparation software. So not only do you get a brand new free laptop, but you get the preparation software, the Premier software as well. So go to DougStephan.com, sign up for the TurboTax special deal, and find out how step-by-step they guide you to get the maximum refund. This thing will end on March 4th, so enter now. Complete and official rules at DougStephan.com.
TurboTax, what's your tax question?
Is your federal free edition really free?
It's actually four frees.
What?
Yes, it's free to prepare, print, e-file, and you get free expert help. See, that's four frees.
You just blew my mind. Do your simple return with the TurboTax Federal Free Edition. It's free to prepare, print, e-file, and only TurboTax offers free one-on-one expert tax advice for everyone, live by phone and chat. Go to TurboTax.com. Live tax advice service is free and subject to availability restrictions and change without notice. See TurboTax.com for details.
You know, life doesn't slow down just because you have sore joints. You still have just as much to do, and you have to find a way to keep yourself moving. Fortunately for you, there's new Move Free Ultra. Just one small pill per day is more effective for sore joints than two big glucosamine and chondroitin pills. And you can believe it, because it was based on a 90-day human clinical study. Don't let sore joints slow you down or big joint care pills. Put a powerful small pill to work for you. Move on, move free with new Shift Move Free Ultra.
I drink Emergen-C to support my immune system before shoveling the driveway.
Ooh, not what I heard.
Thousands of items, 47 categories, 101 name brands. Attention all outdoor geeks now listening to this broadcast. your outfitters of outdoor gear and electronic gadgets, is WildernessGeek.com. Discover a retail superstore of emergency survival, firearms, tactical accessories, camping, boating, hunting, and search and rescue gear, like the life-saving laser flares used by Coast Guard and other rescue agencies. WildernessGeek.com is your electronic supplier of two-way and shortwave radios, GPSs, marine electronics, and portable solar chargers. Plus, WildernessGeek.com has experienced emergency search and rescue service personnel to help you find what you need and learn how to use it. And the best part? Free shipping on orders of $100 or more in the continental U.S. Plus, 5% discount to all radio listeners and rescuers. Go to WildernessGeek.com. That's WildernessGeek.com, the electronic outdoor emergency survival gear superstore.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Announcement on this date in 1974 that Cher had filed for separation from Sonny. Not long afterwards, she filed official divorce papers. As a matter of fact, I think it was Dick Summer, who was one of my friends and who's on this program from time to time. Great jock. He played this song and suggested that Cher had gotten him for real, because apparently she got most of what they had created as husband and wife and ended up in her bank account. So she got him for sure. Anyway, she's still around. Poor Sonny lost his way going down the slope, and that was the end of him.
Yep.
And I remember meeting him once in Washington at Capitol Hill. I had walked into the Capitol building, and he and a couple of his guys came running around the corner, and they like slammed right into me. So he stopped long enough to say, "I'm sorry," and then I talked to him a little bit. And he got very serious about this. And if I'm not mistaken, his wife, Mary, is still in that seat.
I was just going to ask if she was still there.
I think she
I'm
is.
I'm not sure. I got to look it up.
Yeah, she's there for a long time. Out, yeah, she was. All right, so also musically over the weekend, Richie went to a Peter Frampton concert.
Well, so last night to see Peter Frampton. It's
the guitar.
Second time that I've seen him do the 35th anniversary of his Frampton Comes Alive album, which sold 6 million records. And the guitar that he's playing right here, his Les Paul, was lost in 1980 in an airplane crash and ended up somehow on the island of, was it Caracal? And they thought everything was destroyed. Well, two fans decided to go searching this island to see if they could find the guitar, and somehow found it and returned it to him a couple of months ago. And last night was the first night that he played it again. And he walked out on stage and he said, "For those of you wondering, this is it. And I'm never going to let it out of my sight again."
Right.
And it was just so cool to, you know, I know a good
bit
about
guitars.
Did you
buy it? Did you buy it, really?
Did I buy that it was lost?
No, do you buy that that was really the guitar?
Oh, it was.
Or he was just totally, really?
Oh, sure, sure. You know, I mean, he could make another guitar, but, you know, I'd seen the story saying that it had been found. So, I don't know. Could he fake it? Sure. But why would he do that? Who cares? So, but anyway, last night...
The concert was good?
He's an amazing, amazing
huge
musician. Yeah, great guitar player. He just sat up there and jammed, did the whole Frampton Comes Alive album. Then he did a lot of his newer stuff. He had done an instrumental album a few years ago. And he says, "It's funny. All these years I've been in the business, I do an instrumental album where I shut up and don't sing, and they finally give me an award." So, good stuff. If he's got a few months left on this tour, if you haven't seen it, go out and check it out.
All right. There's the that's the endorsement from one R. McFadden here on Good Day. Coming up, what we ought to know about today, other than the fact that it is President's Day, we'll have a 2020 history quiz in which you can win a swell prize or two or three or four, depending on how good your attitude adjustment quotient is. 28 after on Good Day.
Are you putting your money into an IRA, pension, or 401k? Then I hope you're prepared to lose 30, 40, 50% or more of your retirement savings, because it's not a question of if the market crashes again. It's a question of when. It's going to happen. Did you know there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth safely and predictably every single year? The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
So here you are, stuck in rush hour traffic, thinking about your back pain. You know, if you'd used a Thermacare heat wrap this morning, it would still be working. That's because Thermacare is the only wrap with patented heat cells that penetrate deep to relax, soothe, and unlock tight muscles for up to 16 hours of relief. That's 8 hours while you wear it, and 8 more even after it's off. Can your patch say that? And you? You'd be sitting pretty all the way home. For up to 16 hours of back pain relief, try Thermacare. Use as directed.
As a proud father of 5 daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
Only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
Do you use a CPAP breathing device to help treat sleep apnea and prevent snoring? If so, you should know big insurance companies and government regulations can affect the way you buy sleep apnea equipment. They decide what devices you receive, when you get replacement equipment, and even what you pay. Why limit the quality of your treatment? Break away from institutionalized healthcare and shop where you set the sleep therapy standard. Shop at CPAP.com. See what? CPAP. It stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure. CPAP.com has the equipment you want in stock and ready to ship today. Visit CPAP.com to see all of your sleep apnea equipment options or call toll-free 1-855-SNORE-11. That's 1-855-766-7311 to speak with a friendly sleep apnea expert who will answer all of your questions. Mention this ad for free shipping. Again, that's CPAP.com. CPAP.com. CPAP. Your money, your treatment, your choice.
Is 33 past the hour. You've joined Roberta Fasanelli, Rich McFadden, Jennifer Horn, Doug Steffen, and Jay Honeycutt. Wait a minute, Jay Honeycutt. He's not what?
He's new here.
He's new. Yeah, he's the. We've become a little
in command of flight operations here on the show.
Right, he is. That's very good. Rich. Yeah, I like that.
We're about to blast off. Jay, yes. Do we have clearance? Clearance?
Yeah. We're you know. Stephen never changes. I mean, I don't hear from him for 6 months. The phone rings, and the first thing you hear is, are you awake?
And if you're not, you better be.
Right, exactly.
There is no highs, hellos. It's just, here I am.
Wow. But under the circumstances, it didn't take you more than a nanosecond to figure out who it was, right? So it's not like...
Well, you have an unusual, unique... voice. I'll never forget. Actually, McCully and I were talking about
all right, hold on. Let me tell everybody who you are, and then you can tell your story. Jay Honeycutt is one of, and Richie, who knows me extraordinarily well, knows that when I say this, I mean it. There are very few people in the world that I have higher regard for, and that's not a pun, higher regard for than Jay Honeycutt, who first found me listening to WMEL. He was in charge of pretty much everything at Cape Canaveral, the Kennedy Space Center. And so he heard me. This has got to be a good 20 years ago, hasn't it? Has it been 20 years ago, I had gone to Houston, to the Space Center in Houston, and did a program from there. And so I was so excited. I'd been there. And so he calls up the radio station and says I don't think he found John, but he found somebody anyway. He said, who is this guy on the radio talking about the Space Center in Houston? There's nothing going on there. You need to get him down to the Kennedy Space Center, and he'll really see what's going on. So the station called me. Then I called you back again. You invited me down there, and that was the beginning of a great love affair, if you will. Fascination wasn't the word. I mean, I think my jaw dropped.
You ready? Doug is a space junk E.
Right.
Oh. So junk, Jay,
junk I'm here all day.
Right, yeah, junk. So Jay at the time was in charge of the shuttle mission, and then he was in charge of the whole operation. He was in charge of the Space Center for three and a half years, four years, something like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, he brought me in, and I was enamored. And so we went around over the years. We've been around the country, gone to schools, done broadcasts, brought Jay to talk about the space program and astronauts. We brought a guy named, we call him Astronaut Mike. His name is Mike McCulley, who worked with Jay for a long, long time. And they still live near each other, still friends. And as a matter of fact, Jay lives part of the time on the space coast, still down in Cocoa, yeah?
Full-time now. We sold out of Carolina.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. All right. So Jay is the expert when it comes to the men that were involved in the early space flights, the machines that were involved in the space flights. Jay picked many of them, if not most of them, has been involved in this thing since the very beginning. And so who better to talk about the anniversary today? Everybody's talking, oh, yeah, it's President's Day, blah, blah, blah.
I saw John Glenn trending last night on Twitter and Yahoo, so I clicked to see what was going on and saw this.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right, so what do you remember? Let's go back to this early time, because 50 years ago today, we celebrate the flight that John Glenn had up into, what was it, 4.5 hours? Didn't he go around three times? Is that it?
Three times.
All right. So bring us, historically, we're just going to all be quiet now and listen to you tell us the story about how all of this stuff took place. And, I mean, in terms of the we talk about space junk. The early equipment was like a tin can.
I was just in the Air and Space Museum over near Dulles a few weeks ago, and they have two of the capsules, I think two of them over there.
Yes,
you've got to be nuts to get into that thing and get shot into space. This thing is nothing more than a bag of tin foil with a few steel rods to keep it in place. How crazy were these guys?
Well, they were all test pilots, basically was the ultimate flight test program for them. So although Doug gives me more credit than I deserve, I actually didn't get started till about the middle of the Gemini program. So the early stuff, although I followed it, I wasn't directly involved with. But these guys, particularly the first two or three groups of astronauts that they picked, the original seven that Glenn and the Carpenter were in, and then the next group that had folks like John Young and Neil Armstrong, those kind of guys. And they're all consummate test pilots, and what better test opportunity could there be than particularly the early days of space when you didn't know
whether you were going to make it.
and the old thing, the worst part is you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Their ability to react to it. You know, Glenn's flight, they had a huge problem with indication that the way the heat shield on that thing worked, it was, as it, after you came through the orbit, the thing would sort of expand to form a cushion when it hit the water, and there was a indication that while he was on orbit, there was an indication telemetry indication that had happened. So there was a lot of gnashing of teeth and things they ran through to try to verify whether the fact that it had deployed or just looked like it did. So, those are the kind of decisions that had to get made, or opportunities for decisions that had to get made, that there were, panic wasn't a thing that would help in a solution to any of those problems.
But those guys, that was part of the deal, though, Jay, wasn't it? Those guys were so trained, the pilots that were in some of these crazy maneuvers that they did and testing things. This was just the only thing different here is that it went higher than the planes. Other
right,
than that,
exactly.
Right?
They thrive in that environment. You know, where you and I might freeze and say, right. "Oh my God, what am I going to do now?" They're looking for opportunities. So you know that's the reason they got to be where
these guys
were.
Are they kind of looking for suicide missions?
I mean, you know, they don't have a death wish anything like that. But there's some people you know that enjoy walking on the edge, like to climb mountains or like to dive in the deep sea or like to fly their own airplanes, and there are others that don't put me in that environment. I'm not comfortable there. So.
Yeah. So as the program, so Glenn's test 50 years ago today proved what? Other than he could do it, what did prove about what we could do, given the fact that Russians were all over this and we wanted to try to beat the Russians, right?
Yeah, what it proved we could do it. And although there was some bit of a national hysteria around the Russians at the time, and I mean all the way up to the moon landing, if you were in the program and you were working, I was out in Houston then, but the guys down here are the same way. Nobody ever thought about, we need to do this or this has to be successful because if it's not, we're going to, you know, we won't beat the Russians. I mean, everybody had the attitude of, this is what the president asked us to go do, and by golly, we're going to do it. And a little setback here or setback there is slowing us down and doing what we've been asked to do, but not putting us another, you know, 6 months behind the Russians or whatever kind of stuff. I mean, you know, that really wasn't a significant contributor to the thought processes of the workforce. You know, what went on in Washington, you know, I can't speak for that. Not back then,
yes,
nor
yes, you, yes, you can, but you don't want to. Right. You can't speak to that. Yeah, okay. So these guys, A Few Good Men, what was the first movie? It was called A Few Good Men, wasn't it? What was the first movie about?
The Right Stuff was, you know.
Right Stuff.
That kind of got everybody's,
right.
Everybody's attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the first, orbiting tools, if that's what it was, they did the same orbit. They went around the Earth the same way.
Right, yeah, you launched out of here, which was 28.5 degrees inclination. And they all, I mean, they all flew on from here no matter which program they were in.
Right. Okay. But then when the shuttle came along, that was when really you could maneuver around. Was there anything between this and the shuttle that allowed these guys to be able to see more, go more places, and take different pictures, that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. The Saturn V took them to the moon. So.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So that's actually
quite a different knot hole. Yeah. Quite a different knot hole. That they went through.
Yeah.
I had lunch on Friday at the center with Glenn and Scott Carpenter, and I'm telling you, 90 years old, and I think Scott's like 88 or so. I mean, they're sharp as tacks.
Yeah.
And just as pleasant and delightful to be around as anybody you've ever been. I mean, John Glenn is one of the most gracious human beings I've ever been privileged to be around. I mean, he really is a cool guy.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine what their stories are, though, for their children, their grandchildren, all these guys who did this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How do you even conceive, unless you're as close to the program as you are, with going around the world in 88 minutes?
It was funny. Charlie Bolden, the NASA administrator, was there, and they got into some, he and John got into some conversation about some of the medical results of that they're finding on these latest guys that have been on space, space station. And John said, well, you know, I don't think your database is big enough. You could send me up one more time and get a little more, a so little he more was... information on the agent file. Yeah, he's lobbying for a flight at 90.
To go up to the space station.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with that? That sounds cool. I'd like to do that. You and I in our lifetime, although you've got a few years on me, pal, it would be very cool to be able to do something like that. You said to me, I think one of the times that I was there, you said, yep, you'll be able to go up at some point in time. I think we all expected that it would be on a shuttle or a shuttle-type craft,
right.
Which now, of course... The bottom line is that that's all been kiboshed between the idiocy of Bush and his cuts, and now Obama's even worse. You gotta, that whole place down there has to go through a renaissance. At some point in time, somebody's going to wake up. Although you keep hearing them talk about private enterprise doing this, could that happen? Could somebody take over?
Well, the headline in the local paper the other day is, I mean, it's a classic, you know, oxymoron. The headline says, commercial success dependent on continued government funding.
Yeah, there it is. That is oxymoronic.
Yeah.
But you got all those facilities down there that we, the taxpayers, spent hundreds, if not, you know, billions and trillions of dollars on, that now just sits there like an empty outpost on the moon. For God's sakes.
Well, one of the orbiter processing facilities has been turned over to Boeing to use for the development of their quote unquote commercial spacecraft. There's a rumor that somebody else is after another one of the OPF bays. So they're starting to try to.
So would they hire the kinds of people that were working for NASA that work for you, would they hire those people, right, to work for them?
They'll make some hires, but won't be near the numbers that were involved in shuttle. I mean, shuttle was a very labor-intensive.
Right, I remember going in there and looking at all those guys in the white outfits. I think there were 6,000 people required every time one of the shuttles came down. Wasn't that it? They had 6,000 man hours or 6,000 men working on these things to make sure they were ready to go up the next time.
At our best, from the time the wheels stopped rolling on a landing till the time that vehicle launched again there were 1 million procedural steps that had to be executed, and it took 1 million labor hours, roughly.
My God, imagine that.
So you can't make, you know, I mean, if you're a commercial endeavor, you can't make money with that kind of.
No, they got to figure out how to do it faster.
They're trying to figure out how to do it more efficiently and less labor intensively, and that's what they're working on, and they'll get there, but. It takes a little time.
Well, in the meantime, a good program has been gutted, and everybody else running around making advances, and we're sitting here like we are with so many other things, and this is a political statement with our thumb in our ear. All right, I just wanted you to give us a little insight into John Glenn. His story from lunch last Friday is a very cool one, and it would be a wonderful thing to send him up to the space station. Why not? What the heck? Jay Honeycutt. Who was the former director of the Kennedy Space Center? Yeah, what did you start to say?
No, I was just going to say keep in touch.
I will. One way or another, I'll keep in touch. All right, take care.
Okay.
Thanks, Jay. What a wonderful guy. My God. And he really epitomized all these people. They were all friends. They all, families all socialized together and grew up together through the program. All of them together, working together as one. And it was really a very cool thing to see. Jay Honeycutt from the Kennedy Space Center at 10 before the hour. And good day.
8 hours is a long time, especially when your child has a fever. That's why you should use Children's Advil. It can relieve your child's fever for up to 8 hours with just one dose. In fact, nothing works longer than Children's Advil. And the medicine in Children's Advil is the number one pediatrician-recommended children's fever reducer. So when your child has a fever, provide them with relief that will last up to 8 hours with just one dose. Children's Advil, the 8-hour fever reliever.
Among OTC pain relievers, use as directed. January, February, March.
February?
Oh, you might not speak social media, but I do. And my business does too. It's February, the month that my social media actually started working, thanks to Constant Contact.
So it's email?
No, it's a brand new social media tool. Introducing Social Campaigns, a new free tool that turns your fans into real paying customers. Sign up today at ConstantContact.com and you could win $1,000 for you and a fan.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to legal residents of the U.S., UK, and Canada. Security bag is ends 2/29/12 for rules. Visit ConstantContact.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Do you know which 37 crucial food items are going to fly off the shelves when the next disaster hits? If you don't, you and your family may be without food and waiting in long food lines after a big disaster strikes. You would be surprised how many people don't have these food items right now. 123survivalplan.com has set up a For Patriots Only video with inside information on the 37 food items that will sell out first when the next disaster strikes. The video on 123survivalplan.com has crucial information you and your family need to prepare for any disaster, natural or man-made. And you won't have to be afraid of going hungry or being sent to a FEMA refugee camp. See the video that over 1 million other smart patriots have already seen in the last 4 months. Prepared now. Go to 123survivalplan.com and learn which 37 food items you should hoard. Easy to remember, 123survivalplan.com. Again, that's 123survivalplan.com.
Songs sung by the star of a movie, and you're so surprised when you hear who it is. That's Hugh Grant singing Pop Goes My Heart.
From that movie.
Yeah, music and lyrics.
Yeah, this guy would expect to be a non-singer.
I think he's all right. I thought it was a very good. This is Drew Barrymore, right, Chucker? With Hugh Grant, music and lyrics. Oh, Pierce Brosnan. Was it Pierce Brosnan in this?
What's the name of the movie?
Music and lyrics.
That was Drew Barrymore, I believe.
Yeah, but who was it? Was it Hugh Grant or Pierce? It was Hugh Grant that was the musician.
It was Hugh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was Hugh Grant.
Right.
It was Hugh Grant.
But why am I confusing it with something that Pierce Brosnan was in?
Well, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Thank you, Chuck, for the help. All right. This song wasn't on the charts, but the movie was number one at the box office during this week in 2007. And thus, we will deal with what's number one over this past weekend. Not till tomorrow, because today's really a holiday. So the counting will continue through today and tomorrow. Chucker will have the results of the box office totals from the weekend. We'll have some movie news in a moment. First, though, our contest. One of the stars of this movie turned 57, I think, yesterday. So you can identify perhaps the movie by listening to the voices. If you need a little hint, I'll tell you who the guy is that's having a birthday. Here's the first audio clue, however.
There's not a single job in this town.
Yeah.
Unless you want to work 40 hours a week.
800-510-8255. What's the name of this movie? If you know the answer and you have never won before in Movie Moments, help yourself to one of our 12 prizes at 800-510-TALK. Here is the second clue.
I expected the Rocky Mountains to be a little rockier than this.
I was thinking the same thing. That John Denver's full of shit, man.
I have a guess. Like that line. 800-510-8255. Here's the last clue.
Yeah, I called her up. She gave me a bunch of crap about me not listening to her enough or something. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
Okay. Actually, kind of fun, a little bit. Anyway. So do I need to tell you who this guy is? Is that most of his voice there, Jeff Daniels. Remember, does that help you, Tucker? Yeah.
I think I know it.
Okay. 800, you're not so dumb after all, Richie. 800-510-8255.
But you're dumber.
Depends on how you, what your yardstick is. All right, Tucker has movie news in a moment here on Good Day.
Do you have gas? Get this. Shift Digestive Advantage Gas Defense. It's a supplement. Nice. With dual action formula. What does that mean? It works two ways to help defend against gas, now and later. Take it with a meal. And the drug-free ingredient acts quickly to stop occasional gas before it gets started. Take it every day. And the healthy probiotic gives you long-term digestive support. Works now and later. That's the Digestive Advantage from Schiff.
Hello, State Farm.
Hi, can I bundle my auto, home, and life policies together at State Farm?
You could save hundreds, and you can deal with just one State Farm agent.
Just one?
Just me.
I won't be bandied off to some bungling bargain basement bailiwick in East Bumstumble?
Nope, only me.
No BS, no baloney, and no ballyhooed bungling bunkum?
Believe it.
No matter how many policies you have, it can all stay with one State Farm agent.
Bless you.
Better?
Beyond better. Bye.
Bye.
Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today.
This programming is brought to you by the GMC Certified Service Experts, technicians who make the grade. To help make sure your GMC is ready for whatever the traffic and weather throw at it, visit GMCCertifiedService.com for our latest service offers and everyday value pricing.
Hi, Chuck. Let's get some movie news from you, my friend.
All right, Doug. It was announced on Friday that Warner Brothers has greenlit a follow-up to its hit Will Smith movie, I Am Legend. Despite the fact that Will Smith's character, Robert Neville, died at the end of that movie. Now, they're not labeling it as a prequel. They are insinuating that it will be a sequel. So somehow Smith's character will reemerge and live to fight another day, which I think is pretty interesting. Other news, James Cameron's post-converted Titanic 3D got a sneak preview on Valentine's Day, and Roger Ebert gave the first review. Although he loved the movie when it was originally released, he panned the 3D conversion, calling it totally unnecessary, and said the movie was 20% darker.
Yeah, of course it's unnecessary, unless you want to make another $300 million. It's completely unnecessary.
You know, I will agree with him on one thing. When I went to see Star Wars Phantom Menace in 3D, and I've seen numerous 3D movies,
yeah.
I have a mixed feeling on the process.
I didn't think it added a darn thing to it, frankly.
The movie definitely is probably 20% darker when you watch a 3D movie version.
I hadn't thought about it that way. All right, let's see if we can figure out what that movie is. It's Tim calling from Minnesota to Good Day. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you. What's the name of that movie?
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber is the correct answer. Yes, that is it. You like that movie, Tim?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's just kind of dumb. All right, hold on just a second. And we'll give you a nice prize.
Did you?